So to my guest now, Rod Dixon is the artistic director of the Red Ladder Theatre Company, who come to Liverpool and the Unity Theatre next Tuesday with their play The Damned United. You may well have seen the film or read the book. It details Brian Clough's 44 turbulent days in charge of Leeds United. Just to note that tickets are sold out for the performance, but they are due back in November, so keep a lookout for that one. And Rod joins me now. Good evening to you, Rod.
Hiya there.
Thanks very much for coming on. Before we start talking about the play, just tell me a little bit about your background and how you've got to this point, if you like.
My background or the theatre company's background?
Well,
or,
yourself, first of all.
Yeah, well, I am a Scouser, but unfortunately I haven't lived in Liverpool for a number of years because I've been working elsewhere. And so it's great to be on Merseyside Radio. And I did an interview with Anfield Rap the other day, and my Scouse accent just got really thick, and my wife was just laughing her head off at me. But no, I'm a Red, and I'm relieved about Phil Coutinho staying with us. But I run the Red Ladder Theatre Company. I've done for 11 years, and we were talking to David Peace for about a year and a half about Red or Dead, the Bill Shankly book, and we were hoping to turn the last couple of chapters of that after Shankly retires into a play, but we couldn't get the rights, unfortunately, because the film company was involved. So David said, "Do you want The Damned United?" And I went, "Yeah, definitely, we'll have The Damned United."
Yeah, so it's a great film, isn't it? So I'd imagine you didn't really have to think twice when he said, "Do you fancy doing The Damned United?"
Yeah, totally. And what was interesting about it is that he said, he agreed the film was very good, but it wasn't what he wanted. He didn't think the film quite captured the darkness of his book. And he was hoping that the film would be like a black and white movie with sort of like a bit like Saturday Night, Sunday Morning, sort of gritty northern film. And of course, they didn't go with that. They went with basically surrounded Michael Sheen's brilliant performance. That's what the film is mostly remembered for. And so Anders Lustgarten, a playwright, adapted the book and tried to capture more of David Peace's sort of dark, foreboding feel to it. And that's what we've tried to capture in the play as well.
And the play, does that solely focus then on Clough's period, very short period, 44 days at Leeds United?
Yeah, I mean, that's what the book does. It only concentrates on the 44 days. So each chapter is called Day 1, Day 5, and all sort of thing. And flashbacks to his heaven in Derby County when he was extremely successful. So a lot of Forest fans go, "No, you didn't show any of his real successes in Forest." Well, that's not what the book is about. The book is about those 44 days. Interestingly, David was researching a book called The Damned United, and it wasn't just going to be about Clough. Each chapter was going to be about a different cursed member of that club. So, you know, Don Revie would have a chapter, David Harvey would have a chapter, Albert Johansson. But when he came to research the chapter on Brian Clough, he just couldn't find the truth. It was like it was a fairy tale. Every bit of research was counteracted or contradicted or whatever. And he thought, this is the book, not all those other chapters. This is the book, those 44 days. And it's. I mean, we obviously went to Ellen Rhodes to research and meet people. And you feel the ghost of Clough in the walls, you know. Only 44 days, but it was such an impact on the club and on him. You know,
Brian Clough, he's a controversial figure, really, isn't he? Particularly on Merseyside. No, I don't think he's that well liked, actually, on Merseyside. Is he a character that's always fascinated you?
Well, he hasn't always fascinated me for the same reason as a lot of Liverpool fans. I was appalled by his comments about Hillsborough. But in researching this play and then reading the book and then seeing the film, I realised actually, you know, I think he seemed to court controversy. I'm sure that moment when he made those comments about Hillsborough, it's just typical of the man that he seems to, you put him in front of a microphone and it's like some kind of Tourette's. He can't stop himself from saying something that is going to put him in the headlines. And he was a huge celebrity at the time, you know. I mean, Muhammad Ali had heard of him for a start off. I don't know what big American sports star will have heard of any modern day manager, but you know, and when he was sacked by Leeds United, it was headline news on the front page of most newspapers, even the broadsheets. You know, whereas these days, you know, Gary Monk leaves Leeds United last season and, you know, nobody talks about it apart from the Yorkshire Evening Post.
Yeah.
So
Brian
Clough was a fascinating figure, no doubt about it.
And it's funny you say that, you know, when you say he sort of opened his mouth and you were never quite sure what was going to come out. He does remind me in some respects of Jose Mourinho. Have you sort of seen those comparisons as well?
Well, I mean, I'm going to give something away here, but we do make a... Anders has written a speech which is not in the book, and it is, it's basically Clough talking about his passion for football and how he doesn't like the way the game is going. And he talks about, you know, putting 11 men behind the ball, and he basically describes Mourinho's tactics. and of course, it makes the football audience really laugh. And just to hammer it home, we do actually flash up, just for a few seconds, Mourinho's face. And it doesn't take us out of the world of the 70s. It's just a reference to, like, this is the game as we are now. And Clough could see it coming, I think, in many ways. So it's very interesting in that way.
The Clough family, I don't think, were overly keen when the book or the film were released. Have you had anything to do with them with regards to the play?
No, I mean, we tried to approach Nigel, but no, they don't want anything to do with it. But they didn't, you know, they weren't as angry as, say, for example, Johnny Giles tried to take David's piece to court. And David's argument is, look, it isn't fact. This is a novel. It's actually fiction, but it's using the events. And he said the reason it's fiction is I couldn't find much fact when I interviewed people because they contradicted each other. But we spoke to Peter Lorimer and Norman Hunter, and they said, well, actually, one thing that is fact, he did actually say on the first day to the team, you can throw all your medals and all your pots and pans into the nearest dustbin because you've won them all by cheating. And he actually said that on the first day. And I went, really, did he say that? And they said, yeah. Well, I said, God, you know, he was taking you on. If that was a joke, it fell flat on its face, you know, and he did lose he lost the changing room. There's no doubt about that.
He must have lost them from the very beginning saying something like that, you know, because Leeds were the side of the 70s in many, many respects, weren't they, really?
Yeah, they were, but I mean, I'm sorry to Evertonians to say this, but I think it's a bit like poor old David Moyes, you know, stepping into Fergie's shoes. You know, I think the team had done really well for Revy, but they were old. They were getting on, you know, and they were league champions, but look at poor old Leicester.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't guarantee, and even then you couldn't guarantee. And I think he knew what he wanted to do. He knew that he wanted to bring in new players. And, of course, he brought in, you know, Duncan McKenzie. And, you know, he knew what he wanted to do, but the board were resistant. The Leeds board brought him in. I mean, as a colourful figure, but they didn't help him. There were loads of contracts unsigned. I mean, you know, it was a disaster from day one for him, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just looking at the differences between the play and the book and the film, David Peace, who you referred to there, he was trying to get inside the mind, I think, of Brian Clough. Is that what you're trying to do in the play?
That's exactly what we've tried to do. We've tried to make the audience feel as if they're, you know, they're looking right into this man's sort of mental health, really. And that's why we flash backwards and forwards from when he's feeling particularly low. He goes back to Derby, and it boosts him. It makes him feel good. That is his heaven. And then we have this sound effect, which is like a guillotine coming down, and that's when we go back to Leeds, and it sends a shiver down your spine, you really feel for the man, actually. The guy who you're going to talk to, you know, soon, Luke, who's playing the role of Brian Clough, said, look, I don't want to dislike him. I want to like him as an actor. And I want the audience to see that there is a likable side to the man so that they feel for him. So it's more of a tragedy that way then. You know, you see the fall of this man, his pride and his hubris. And you almost feel like saying, oh, don't say that, Brian, don't say that. And he says it and you go, oh, God, you've had it. You've had it. You know what I mean?
So going back to, I know you said that you were like a lot of people here on Merseyside and you didn't particularly like him because of the Hillsborough comments, but doing this now, do you like him more, do you think, as a result of it?
I'm fascinated by him. I'm fascinated by the creation that we've made. We never show any footage or photographs of the real Clough. Even though we do the interview, the famous interview with Don Revy on Yorkshire Television, we do that, but we do it with our Clough and a virtual Don Revy. But we want our audience to believe our Clough and believe our story and go into that world, because that's a piece of theatre. But, you know, a lot of football fans who came to see it, I mean, we sold out West Yorkshire Playhouse. Obviously, Leeds fans came. And when we went to Derby, we sold out to Derby. And they, you know, a lot of them said, it's uncanny. He's so like him. And I think that's what theatre does. It kind of suggests, and you either, you know, you buy into it or you don't. And thankfully, most people seem to be buying into it.
I wonder whether... I know he kind of... He dug his own grave, really, at least, didn't he, with the comments that you've already mentioned. But is there any part of you or anyone that feels that he was treated unfairly at Leeds? Because the players didn't give him a chance after what he said.
I think... Well, talking to Peter Lorimer and Norman Hunter, they said, well, he did lose us in the dressing room, but you can't stop a professional footballer from wanting to play. Once they're on that pitch, they don't want to lose. And we didn't, you know, we didn't deliberately play badly. I think these days, you know, there would have been a psychologist helping them through, because I think we've realised the psychology of... I was only listening to the other day about the women's football team doing so well, England women's football team doing well, because they've really understood the importance of psychology and in a team. And I think the men's game is behind in that. But these days, I think there is that kind of knowledge. And I think the players maybe lost the confidence of being champions. I mean, it's really interesting comparing them to this season's Leicester, actually. You know, Leicester were amazing the season before last, and they just kind of lost it, you know, apart from when they played the Reds. But you know.
Yeah, we'll gloss over that one.
Move on for that. Yeah.
And I think another important, perhaps, man in this whole story is Peter Taylor, isn't it? You know, they forged such a formidable partnership, but perhaps in similar ways to Shankly and Paisley did, but then he lost Taylor and it seemed to go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is what we've captured in the book, is actually Anders has done a brilliant job. He's actually given Taylor a lot more of a role. In the film, you know, as I said, Michael Sheen did a brilliant impersonation of Clough and you really believed him, but they cast the brilliant Timothy Spall, but he's a brilliant actor, but he doesn't look anything like Peter Taylor. And I think that in the film, Peter Taylor comes up across as quite weak, but actually in the book and in our play, he's got much more control over the situation. And he's just exasperated by Brian Clough after a while. And Brian Clough is actually really... He exploits Taylor in many ways. And as Taylor realises this, that's when he loses him. And Clough actually begs him to come to Leeds, and he says no. I mean, they do reunite, of course, very successfully with Nottingham Forest, but that period when Taylor stays on... The sad thing is Taylor stays on at Brighton and he's not a very good manager. He's a brilliant assistant manager. He knows his players, he knows how to scout, but he doesn't know how to manage in the same way that Clough... Because Clough... you know, he has those lads in the palm of his hand. We see it in Derby, and he just can't do it in Leeds. And I think he needs this sidekick. I mean, there's a moment we show in a Derby changing room where Clough just absolutely abuses the players. And you think, oh, God, they'll lose him. And then Taylor just steps in and says, the boss doesn't mean a word of that. And it's just really funny, but that's how they worked. It was a brilliant double act.
It's good cop, bad cop, isn't it? Really, that's what.
Totally.
That's how the partnerships work. Could you see yourself doing a production like this on Bill Shankly? I know there's been a lot, hasn't there? But the Shankly Paisley dynamic. There are, as I said, similarities, aren't there? You know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I would love to, and that's what we wanted to do with Red or Dead, because, I mean, I loved the book Red or Dead, and it was quite a hard read if you weren't a Liverpool fan. But, I mean, I'm old enough to remember a lot of those matches, or at least I think I do. You know, you read a book and you think, oh, I was there, I remember that. But it was the last couple of chapters of Red or Dead that interested me, because, you know, Shankly retiring when he did and nobody really expecting him to. And then the awful pain of Shankly coming back to Anfield after he'd retired and Bob Paisley having to say, look, Bill, you've gone, mate. You're not welcome, but we can't have you here. It's confusing for the lads, because they were still calling him boss, you know. I think that was tragic, and that was interesting for me. But that film never got made, so we might go back to David and go, how about it? But the problem for me as the theatre director is I don't want my company just to be making plays about football. You know, we get a reputation for just doing that. We've got other things to do as well. But I would be really interested in that.
Yeah, it would be good fun though to do a lot of football ones. Come on, be honest.
Well, yeah, unfortunately for me, this is the second football play we've done, and the first one was about Leeds United as well. I'm you know, I can't do another Leeds United play. I just can't do it.
No, fair enough. I wanted to talk about casting the role of Brian Clough, because as you said there, Michael Sheen, brilliant in the film The Damned United. So did you feel, you know, you've got to get this right, such an important role for the play?
Well, last year we did a larger production at West Yorkshire Playhouse, and Andrew Lansell, who is actually an Everton fan, but I forgave him. We cast him as Brian Clough, and he wasn't available for this smaller version. But he and I, and Luke and I, when we've talked about Brian, we've said, look, I don't want you to try and imitate that voice. You can put in moments of it so we recognise it, but it's really in how you carry yourself. Because there's so many still images of Clough. And people believe that. And actually, the way he spoke, which was a weird mixture of sort of Middlesbrough and East Midlands, if you did that all the way through a play, it's a really boring voice. Really, really boring voice. So it doesn't work. And so what you want to do is just put in little, like that moment, you know, all your pots and pans, just little moments like that, which you really recognise. And it, also in the interview with Revy, you know, yes, Don, you know, you get that kind of sense of it, but you don't need that. It's more about carrying yourself and wearing the suit and doing the gestures. And the interesting thing is for the non-football fans who come and see the play, people who don't even know who Brian Clough was, the interesting thing is that relationship between Taylor and Clough and the maleness and the testosterone and the jealousy and the rivalry. That's what makes the play really interesting, actually.
I've an ideal time now to speak to Luke Dixon, who is playing Brian Clough in the play. Good evening, Luke.
Good evening, how are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, not bad at all, thank you. First of all, tell us how you got the role then. You know, was it something you immediately jumped at?
Well, when Rod offered me the part, it was September last year, I thought, yeah, there's no way I'm going to pass this opportunity up. Because it's it's one of those big iconic characters that any actor would, walk over hot coals for, really. So went for it, most definitely.
Did you feel any pressure playing such an iconic character?
Enormous amounts of pressure, yeah. I mean, you talk to any, obviously, particularly football fans, but you talk to Forest fans, United fans, you talk to, that's Leeds United, obviously, Leeds United fans or Derby County fans, and they've all got a different perspective on who Brian Clough is. And even people who aren't fans of those teams or aren't even football fans particularly, everybody thinks they kind of have got a handle on who this person is. So you haven't to juggle all those different perspectives and come up with your own version.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because Rod was saying that he spoke to so many different people and there were all completely contrasting stories about Brian Clough.
Yeah.
So did you as an actor try and study him as much as you can? Could?
For me, the main resource in that regard was the book, was David Peace's book. Because, I started reading some biographies. I steered clear of the film. I haven't watched it. Michael Sheen is a fantastic version of Brian Clough, and I didn't want that to influence what I did. But the book really is, it kept coming back to the book. It's so poetic and it's so, dark in places. And that's where you really get this idea of a different kind, or the potential for a different kind of Brian Clough as an actor, to portray that, portray the inside of his head, really.
Yeah. Did you speak to Andrew Lansell, who, of course, is from just down the road from Liverpool, who performed, as we said, Brian Clough in an earlier production?
I saw him in the earlier production. I've not had an opportunity to speak to him yet. I'm hoping to get that opportunity at some point, and hopefully he'll like my version of the play as much as I liked his.
Are you a Leeds fan?
I am. I've got to put my hands up here. Sorry, I know I'm speaking to BBC Radio Merseyside, but yeah, I am a Leeds fan.
It's fine. You don't have to apologise, honestly. But I mean, so you will know. I mean, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 42.
Right, so you're a similar age to me. You will have heard about his reign at Leeds without actually living through it. So as a Leeds fan, what's your view of Brian Clough?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of quite objective about these things and always have been, but speaking to my mates who are kind of really staunch Leeds fans, is that they'll say, Brian Clough, hate him. That's the kind of natural response for a Leeds fan, usually, just because they see him as coming to Leeds and sort of destroying the Don Revy legacy that was there. But, it was inevitable, really. I mean, that's the way I see it. It was an inevitable decline to happen after everything he'd said about them and how he conducted himself when he first met the players there,
Rod, when you saw Luke, did you immediately think that's our man, or you'd have to see a lot of actors?
No, that's... Well, first time round, we were trying to find the right person. Andrew and Luke both have a look of Clough about them. They don't look exactly like him, but you know, if you line them up, Andrew, Luke, Brian Clough, and a few others, you know, like they do in Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Oh yes,
you might be, there might be some people who would choose Luke or Andrew and think that was Brian Clough. There is a look about them which is great. That's really uncanny. We talked to a number of actors first time around, and quite a number of them. Actually, David Morrissey was one, and he said, "I don't want to take it on because I can't do what Michael did." And that was really interesting. I was going, well, you know, it's not a competition. And actually, it's different. It's live. It's totally different. But some people were going, no, I just can't do that. Michael's done it. And I was a bit disappointed with that because I like what Michael did. But it dominated the film because nobody else, maybe Jim Broadbent did a bit of Sam Longson, but really, nobody else was doing that kind of quality of impersonation. So it became became the Michael Sheen show. You know what I mean?
So did you get Luke to do an impression pretty much straight away of Cluffy? Or...
No, I said to him, that's what I don't want you to do.
Right. No young man's or anything like that going
well,
on?
We do that a lot in the rehearsal room and, you know, muck around with it. But I said, look, do what you're doing, which is just find little moments, little Geordie clips sometimes in the way you say words and the little... And particularly when he gets angry or he gets emotional, then that weird intonation of Clough's comes in. And that's when you get it, because that's when you think, oh, it's Clough. It's totally Clough.
Yeah.
But a number of people said when he first walks out onto stage, he has his back to the audience and he has his hands behind his back, just like Clough. And loads of people said that was him as soon as he walked out. And they said that with Andrew, and they've said it with Luke as well. It's uncanny, really.
So Luke, how excited are you to be playing in Liverpool? Obviously a massive football city on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I won't lie. I'm a bit nervous. You know, it's a big place to come to perform a part like that and a show like this. But you know, I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Yeah, well, good luck with it, and
thank you very much.
We'll see you Tuesday. Thanks for coming on and talking to us, Luke.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Paul.
Cheers, mate. Bye bye. That's Luke Dixon, who is playing Brian Clough in the show on Tuesday night. I'm also with Rod Dixon, who, of course, is behind the whole production. Rod, you mentioned a few times there about the legendary interview with Brian Clough and Don Revy on, I think, was it only on Yorkshire Television? It wasn't networked, was it?
No, it wasn't networked. It was Yorkshire Television. It was that day. It was the day he was sacked, and Austin Mitchell called him into Yorkshire TV.
And if anyone hasn't seen this, I think it is probably online somewhere. You can probably bung it in YouTube. It is fascinating to watch, isn't it?
It's fascinating because you realise, and we checked this as verifiable, that they call Clough in to the studio and say, look, you've been sacked, we want to interview. He goes in, he has no idea that Don Revy's in there as well. And he walks into the studio and there's his arch enemy and he does the interview. Anybody else would have just walked out, and he does the interview with Revy. And actually, Revy is kind of moody. He doesn't make eye contact. He's kind of surly. He's angry. He's trying to get things off his chest. And Clough is Mr. Charming. And you just go, this is amazing television. It's amazing television. And Austin Mitchell's trying to goad them both, you know, trying to make, you know, good journalists, trying to make something of it. And Clough doesn't rise. It's Revy that actually, I think, myself, that it's Revy that comes off worst.
I am absolutely staggered by that. I didn't know that. I thought it'd been prearranged, and I thought Clough, kind of being the combative sort of guy that he was well up for a kind of slanging match with Revy. So he turned up and had no idea Revy was even there.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And he walks in, and as I say, anybody these days, you know, Mourinho or, you know, Sam Allardyce, whoever's their rival, would say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not. You didn't tell me he was going to be there, you know. And he does it. It's just like, that's why I think, you know, well, maybe that's why he said the things about Hillsborough. I mean, that's why he said the things about Justin Fashanu. You know, it's like, it's almost like he rides this danger, you know. Mm. And then people have said to me, oh, I think he was a bit drunk in that interview. I don't think he was. I don't think he really was a bad drinker until much later in life. He drank a lot, and his family sort of say, no, he didn't have a drink problem. But
yeah,
I mean, he clearly did at the end.
I was going to ask you that, whether you thought drink was having impact, but that was, I mean, the Nottingham Forest years, it clearly was. But
yes.
Yeah, and I know you don't really touch on the Forest years. He was very, very successful, of course, at Nottingham Forest. Do you think that would have made Leeds think, oh, we shouldn't have let him go?
I would have thought so. I would have thought so. I think Manny Cousins, the chairman of Leeds, really wanted him. And he really wanted him for obvious reasons. And he was like, look, let's grasp the nettle. And I think the members of the board were dead against it. And the player, I mean, the talk is that Johnny Giles or Bremner were offered the job by Revy, which it wasn't his place to do anyway. And they were really surly and you know, angry about the fact that happened. I mean, Clough did say dreadful things about Leeds all the way through. He said they were cheats. He said they should have been put down to the second division for this, that and the other, you know. And he was open about it in interviews. You know, I think he would have been fined by the FA these days for saying some of the things that he said. But then to take the job, there's something either really arrogant or he was flattered by it. I don't know. I don't understand why he took that job, to be honest. I really don't.
We'll be back with Rod very shortly indeed. Just going to get you a bit more news now, though. As Rod actually mentioned earlier on, he's delighted. It looks like Coutinho is staying at Anfield. Liverpool have turned down a reported £72 million from Barcelona. Of course, he only signed his new contract in January. We'll hear from Jurgen Klopp soon, but first, Adam Lallana says it's important they keep hold of the 25-year-old.
He's a fantastic player, so there's no surprise that there's teams interested in him. There's probably teams interested in a host of other players in our squad. But I feel like we're going to achieve big things here, and I'm sure Phil is going to be a big part of that.
You've played alongside him for 3 years now. How have you seen him develop, and where do you put him now? You know, do you think he is now in that kind of elite bracket?
Yeah, of course he's in that elite bracket, but you know, there's no reason why he can't continue to be in that bracket and achieve huge things here at Liverpool Football Club. We're a massive club. We're in the Champions League. Okay, we need to qualify. But if we're going to want to win competitions like that and win the Premier League, then we need to keep hold of our players like Felipe.
I have nothing to say about this. I'm sorry. But obviously, you all can have stories without my saying so. Why should I disturb this process? Do whatever you want with this news, and I'm not interested. But what I can say, keeping the group together, yeah, would make sense.
We can say Coutinho not for sale, perhaps?
Yes, that's what we can say. But that's not since this morning or yesterday. That's not sure if it was different in any time. So, yes.
What importance, then, do you put on a player like Coutinho within the group?
No, it's not about this. Phil is a very, very important player, but we need to react better when he's not on the pitch. So that's how it is, because he was a few games out and then he came back and was not in the best shape. That's how it is. He tried to get back his rhythm. And with his quality, he has the opportunity or the pressure to do it on the pitch. Other players you keep in training and hide them a little bit. But Phil, when he's able to run properly, then you want to have him on the pitch again. So, yeah, we have to be better even in moments like this. So it's about Phil. He can improve, of course, bring in consistency. No doubt about his qualities. When he good shape, good game, movements, very smart in both parts of the game, offensive tactically and also defense tactically. That's really, really important. And, all over a really good player, and but a nice thing is still young, and also he can improve. But he improved a lot already since I'm in, and he was good before I was in, so he's on a good way.
My guest tonight is Rod Dixon. He's the artistic director of the Red Ladder Theatre Company, who are bringing The Damned United to the Unity Theatre in Liverpool this week. I never actually asked you, Rod, what part of the city or Merseyside are you from?
Well, I grew up in Egbeth. And then my parents moved us over to Wallasey, so we became Plasy Scousers.
But you're a big Red. I mean, how are you feeling about the whole Coutinho situation? Because it is going to be a constant source of anxiety, isn't it? Because of how good he is, really.
Yeah, I mean, I remember feeling really devastated about Fernando Torres, like losing his mojo, you know, and then he went to Chelsea, and I didn't feel betrayed. I just felt sad for him because I thought he was wonderful, you know, but when Phil Coutinho and Firmino and Sadio Mane, and now we got Salah, when they're all firing on all four cylinders, we're going to be devastating, you know, absolutely amazing. And so I just think, yeah, thank goodness we're in the, you know, well, we got in the top four and we're in the Champions League. And hopefully, as Adam says, we'll qualify. That's what that player wants, you know. And I don't think he'd get as much of a game at Barcelona, you know what I mean? where's he going to play for Barcelona? I think he's well suited for us. So, yeah, massively relieved about that one.
There is this big panic, not from all fans, but from a section of fans, and certainly if you read social media, which is never the best barometer, about Liverpool's lack of activity in the transfer market. Are you in any way worried about that?
I don't think so. I might be beginning to lose me. I really wanted Virgil van Dijk, and that's a weird one. He's saying he doesn't want to play. They're making him train on his own. He's desperate to come to us. And it's like, I don't know what went wrong there, because everyone's going, oh, we mishandled it. We didn't do anything different from anybody else. So I don't understand that. That's been dragging on. I really, can I say this on air? I love, you know, Jurgen Klopp.
Of course you can.
I used to hang on every word that Shankly said. You know, Paisley was a quieter man, but I adored Shankly. He was my god, you know. And I think Klopp is like that. And I think, reading between the lines in that last interview, that he's getting a bit tetchy and a bit, you know, he doesn't want to talk about stuff. But I mean, you know, pre-season games already, things are looking quite exciting. I'm really excited about this coming season, I really am, but I'm not going to tempt anything.
it's interesting you say that about adoring Klopp. I mean, I think Rafa had that following from fans, didn't he? The Liverpool probably not had that since Rafa. Could you see yourself one day even doing a production on Klopp? Because he has that aura about him, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, if he's listening, we'll definitely do a production, but it just means I get a chance to chat with him. That would just be brilliant. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard for me. My company's a Leeds-based company, so just because I'm a Scouser doesn't mean, say, I can sort of, you know, steer it in that way. The company's 50. We're 50 years old next year. We were formed in 1968. So we're doing a big production of Mother Courage. We hope in a big tank factory as sort of the end of the First World War sort of century. We're hoping that the actor who played Mrs. Doyle and Father Ted will be Mother Courage. So we've got lots to be excited about. I can't start saying right now we're going to do a play about Klopp. Yeah. I'll probably get shouted down.
Oh, go on. See what I did there.
Very good.
Thank you. And living over in Leeds then, do you get much chance to go and see the Reds anymore or not really?
Not really. I managed to get a ticket to see the home game against Sunderland, and it took my 8-year-old. And, you know, you think, oh, he's going to want a hot dog after 5 minutes, going to do me head in. And he was just so into it, and it was so great. And he was there for the whole 90 minutes, and he was singing songs. And he at one point, he pointed at Simon Mignolet and goes, Dad, what's the keeper doing that far out? I went, that's pressing, lad. It was great. So I was really chuffed. I mean, we try and go if we can, you know, at least once or twice a season. But it's hard. It's so hard to get tickets these days, you know, but... I'm glad that he's been at the age of 8, because otherwise his only experience of Liverpool would have been on a screen. And you know, Anfield is as we know, a brilliant experience for everybody.
I think really what you've just said there also illustrates how much football has changed since Brian Clough was in his pomp compared to nowadays. You know, the days of rocking up and getting on the cop are long gone on the day now. That saddens me in a way, for my lad and your lad and all kids out there, really.
Yeah, I mean, I used to go to the cop every week, and actually I used to go to Gladys Street on away days because my mate was a Blue. So I used to, you know, I loved being on the terraces. I mean, I remember seeing Liverpool play Leeds at home, and it was packed. And I was scared, actually, about how packed it was. And so, you know, it wasn't safe. There's no doubt about that. It wasn't safe. But the atmosphere was just exhilarating. You can't bottle that kind of atmosphere. I mean, it's interesting to see what this safe standing's like in Celtic, you know. And I know they're investigating that. Because there is a different atmosphere when everybody's singing and standing and celebrating together. There really is. There was a bit of a lull. I remember, I've got a big boy as well, who's now 27. And his first few games were back at Anfield back in 2004, 2005. And we lived in Plymouth then. And the atmosphere at Argyle was better than at Anfield in 2004, 5. And I said to my lad, oh, I'm gutted. You know, it's just not like that. But it's back. It really is back. The atmosphere's fantastic. And Klopp loves that. You know, he turns to the crowd and he G's you up. And I just love that. You know, it's part of the experience.
Most definitely. Back onto the play, the Damme United. You're going to be taking it to Easter Road, the home of Hibs, aren't you? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's going to be an experience, isn't it?
Yeah, we're doing a couple of gigs. The reason we've reduced it in size is so we can take it to places that aren't theatres, where people gather who wouldn't go to theatre. It's a weird one, theatre, you know, because when I was a kid, I used to go to the Liverpool Everyman, and it felt welcoming. But I remember going to see, I can't remember, it was a Shakespeare with an English teacher, and I really liked this English teacher, really respected him. And I think it was King Lear or something. I came out in the interval and I said to my mate Stu Mach, oh, it's great, this. And then I heard my English teacher go, oh, that's the worst King Lear I've ever seen. And I felt stupid, you know what I mean? And I think that's a little bit of a problem with theatre, that we've still got a bit of a class thing. And I think a play like this has got to go to communities. So we're trying it out at Hibs, and then we're taking it to the Pleasance above for a whole month at Edinburgh Fringe. And then hopefully we'll be touring it out in the autumn and the spring to places like Brighton and Hove Albion. And there's a non-league club in London that are interested in it. Oh, God, I can't even remember what it's called. But, you know, I think that's going to be interesting, taking this play to non-theatre spaces and making it work.
Yeah. And the idea will be to get it to different audiences, which is obviously very important to you as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when we come back to Liverpool, we'll do a gig at Unity, but I'd like us to find some spaces, I don't know, in Anfield or Everton or, you know, Speak or somewhere like that, some spaces like that where people would never think of going to the theatre maybe, and then see what I think is a really high quality piece of theatre, but it's engaging as well, you know, and because it's a live shared experience, you can't beat it. You know, it is, for me, it's better than telly and film. You know, you can switch them off. But if you're in the room with Clough, when the first night we did at West Yorkshire Playhouse, a Leeds fan, a woman, shouted F off to Clough.
It's not really Brian.
I thought, oh, God, it's like a pantomime. And it was great. It was really good. I loved it.
But then you're doing your job right, aren't you, I suppose, if you're getting that reaction,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I've just had an idea. You could do it somewhere like Marine, you know.
You know, oh, like, I'd love to do it at Marine. I'd love to do it there. You know, there's a pub out Crosby Way, isn't it? They're where they're based, and there's a big room in it. I can't remember the name of the pub.
Well, God, I know most of the pubs in Crosby. Not the Bug. The Bug by the Edinburgh.
Is that that's
on College Road, which is right by the ground. Yeah, I shouldn't know that kind of thing that instantly. You've shown me up a bit there, Rod. To be fair,
a sign of a misspent youth.
Absolutely. We've run out of time, but it's been really great speaking with you. Thanks so much for coming on and talking to us, and good luck with it all as well.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It's great to be back in Merseyside, even if I am in a studio in Leeds.
No problem at all. We'll get you back on soon. It's on this Tuesday, and hopefully we'll be back again.